the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks for baptism. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks now for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people there thirsted for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the church at Rome. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But it is proof of God's own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of the Son of God, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by the life of the Son of God. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jewish man, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jewish people do not share things in common with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his children and his flocks drank from it?"
And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to Jesus,
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
And Jesus said, "Go, call your husband and come back." And she answered,
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying I have no husband," said Jesus. "For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And she responded,
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jewish people. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him,
I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us.
And Jesus said, Here I am, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
Come and see someone who told me everything I have ever done. Can this be the Messiah?
They all left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Surely no one has brought him something to eat. And then Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will and accomplish the work of the one who sent me. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony.
He told me everything I have ever done.
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to abide with them. And Jesus stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Not the Lenten journey we expected. We are being reminded in a viral way of how we are all related and intertwined with one another, with the whole created world. We are called at this time into a conversation in which we might choose panic and fear. We might choose to blame others or to be suspicious of others. Or we might think how we might care for one another. Our community's decision to suspend services until April 4, seemingly isolating, is surprisingly drawing us closer together as a community of faith at Bethel and weaving us together with our neighbors, even with the world. It is the creative, transformative, and unitive dynamic of care, of having a heart for the other, of Christ in us, of Christ with us. It is now our Lenten journey. Not what the woman at the well expected either, I'm sure. She expresses as much when she says to Jesus after he asks her for a drink, What? You ask me, a woman, a Samaritan, and we're here all alone? Aren't we toxic? Isn't this contact toxic, unclean? She's incredulous. Not the kind of journey or conversation which the disciples expected either. When they returned, they said to Jesus, What are you doing talking to this person? And why are we even coming through Samaria? We ask in our heart then, what did Jesus expect? What kind of journey had he planned? Did he expect to meet the woman? Perhaps not. But absolutely, he expected and planned to meet and challenge the virus of prejudice against women and outsiders. Such was the essence and purpose of his journey, to touch off a pandemic of healing, if you will, which we see has impacted the whole world. Jesus' journey and conversation was intended to give life to a very particular person and to a community of people rejected as unfit, as toxic, we might say today, but also to be a witness to the whole world of God's promise and intention of life. Jesus' journey was a thread designed to weave the entire created world and all its people together in health and life, symbolized by water. Give me a drink, Jesus asked, and by the living water of a relationship of care, respect, and acceptance of all within one family of God. We can see in this encounter that Jesus needs the woman, needs this relationship as well as she needs it. With the pandemic that we are experiencing in our age, in our time, we all find ourselves together as one people in our need. We can be overcome by fear and distrust the other, or we see that we are called to look out for one another. So, Jesus sought to bring healing to the whole world. He begins with one woman and with living water. We might ask, what is this living water and how can we get it? Don't we all ask this with her? We make a big deal as we study the Gospel of St. John about the conversations that take place in this Gospel and no other, because they are a delivery system for the living water that Jesus brings. Beginning with the encounter with a toxic foreigner, Jesus starts this whole process of acceptance, of empowerment, of healing. The woman is encountered by one who accepts and acknowledges her as valued, valued enough to receive the river and water of life, even eternal life. And then, when Jesus leads the conversation into more desperate and worrisome aspects of her life, it is not to condemn. The remarkable reality for the woman is not that Jesus saw into her life, but that he did not let her history, her old failings, destroy her. At each stage of the conversation, at each application of living water, there was an increased abiding, a deeper healing, a deeper trust. On Jesus' part, he is entrusting her, empowering her to also be a source of living water and healing for others. As I said, there then is this mutual trust going on between Jesus and the woman at the well. In Jesus abiding with this person, a woman, a foreigner, perhaps an outcast even in her own community, this is an example of bearing the damage that has been caused her and perhaps the damage which she herself has caused, with an intention of healing, of forgiveness, of calling her to the fullness of life. And so it is also with each of us. Jesus abides with us in our need and for our lives, calling us then to, in our turn, to be healers. Transformed, she then goes and broadcasts as an evangelist, going to her community, proclaiming good news. She becomes a disciple, an evangelist. We acknowledge her to this day as a woman of faith and courage, bringing us good news in this lesson. As with Brother Nicodemus in last week's lesson, who asked, how can this be? We with the Samaritan woman also asked, how we can receive this living water. Through this story, we trust and experience that God in Christ Jesus enters our stories, our lives, knows our fears, our failures, the damage we have caused to others, the challenge, the test we have put God to. Jesus has not come, however, to condemn, but to bear, to take upon himself the toxicity of fear, of prejudice, of despair, of selfishness. On the cross, Jesus bears all isolation, all panic, all fear, all damage to others, not to condemn, but to forgive, to renew, to transform. In our deepest need, Jesus is there with us and for us. What appears as absolute isolation upon the cross, where fear and prejudice seem to win, has drawn us all together in transformation and resurrection life, a spring of living water, even gushing up to eternal life. An unexpected Lenten journey, a surprising conversation, then and now. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in true faith and in a community of faith with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We rise for prayer.
Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of living water, send your church beyond boundaries to proclaim your grace. May its witness be a source of refreshment for thirsty souls. Strengthen our voices that all people can know and believe that Jesus is truly the Savior of the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, protect from pollution or misuse all rivers, lakes, oceans, and streams. Bless the work of those who dig wells and those who advocate for access to clean water, that all people and animals have enough to drink. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, open the hearts of leaders and authorities that they hear the cries of the suffering and act with compassion toward them. Bring peace to disputed lands and bring reconciliation to people divided by race, culture, or nationality. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, mend the hearts of those who grieve broken relationships, whether by conflict, abuse, divorce, or death. Draw near to all who are ill. We especially pray for God's spirit of healing and hope to strengthen and unite the peoples of the world in care for one another in a time of pandemic. We also pray for Sue, Ariel, Mary, Marie, Judy, Ted, David, Barbara, Austin, John, Sarah, Robin, Rosalind, Brad, Julia, Ronald, Meredith, John, Katie, Joe, Candace, Evan, Michael, Alex, Marcy, Anne Marie, Stacy, and those we name in our hearts. Assure those questioning your presence in the midst of doubt or suffering. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, renew us in the promises of baptism. Join us together in worship, fellowship, and sharing your good news. Embolden us to serve others and to work for justice and peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for God's watch and care over the children who have been separated from their families at the U.S. border and detained. We pray for their families, their guards, and our policymakers. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of living water, we thank you for those who endured suffering and who now boast in the glory of God. Pour your Holy Spirit into our hearts and give us peace as we live in the hope of our salvation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, as Jesus has taught us, we are bold to pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now a moment for announcements. As many of you received emails yesterday that we will be suspending our services through April 4. We plan to reassess our situation on March 28th. Our great hope is that we can resume for Palm Sunday, but we will keep everyone informed through email. Obviously, this week's midweek service, as the rest, actually will be also suspended. All activities in the church itself will be suspended. And with respect to Vespers this coming Wednesday, keep your eyes open in the connection or for an email blast of a meditation, perhaps a sermon. We're working on that and deciding the best way that we might continue this Lenten journey through our midweek services. God bless all.
Let us bow our heads before God.
Keep this your family, O God, with your never-failing mercy, that relying solely on the help of your heavenly grace, they may be upheld by your divine protection through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Good news.